Yuttayatthana Motu. The chapter on hastening to fulfill the deaths of the deceased. Yesterday we did a chapter wherein the janaza salah and the janaza itself should be moved swiftly to the qabr. Do not delay with these things. Now we're talking about another chapter, that if the person that has passed away and has got any debts, not delay in fulfilling the debts of this person. So the chapter is Babu Ta'jeeli Qadha'i Deen, the chapter on the preferability, desirability on hastening and paying the person's debt, wal mubadarati ila tajheezihi illa an yamuta fujaatan, and the making all his burial and arrangements quickly, not delaying with it, except if a person illa an yamuta fujaatan, a person passed away suddenly. Somebody just walking, he collapsed on the road, passed away. There, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah explaining, فَيُتْرَكُ حَتَّى يُتَيَقَّنُ مُوتُهُ. In that case, he'll be left and seen that 100% this person has passed away. It shouldn't be such that somebody saw this person collapse and they start making funeral arrangements. It's possible that he may have a seizure, it's possible he may have a stroke, he may have some other sickness, and he collapsed like that. So until it's not confirmed 100%, don't rush in making any funeral arrangements. In those days, obviously, it would have been a little bit more difficult than nowadays. But perhaps if a person is in a place where there isn't for specialists, doctors, anybody to confirm, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah, don't rush in that case in making the person's funeral arrangement until 100% sure, you know, that person has passed. It happened once I was in Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person, whilst I was sitting and reading, one person came and lied right next to me with his feet actually facing Qibla. And it was happened that it was also facing towards the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as people were going past, they thought that this man was sleeping very disrespectfully. So many people came and pointed that how can you sleep like this? Your legs are facing the roza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is facing Qibla. They complained and they went, they complained. Eventually one person decided to come and shake him. And shaking and seeing this person is not waking up. So he had passed away, they were shaking. Then they had to wait and call the authorities. When authorities came, medical staff came, etc., they looked. They had to cordon the area, this person had passed away like that. So sometimes you never know, in a situation like that, until a person is not 100% confirmed his death, then only should burial arrangements be made, and then only the message also should go that this person passed away. How often now you're hearing that messages are going around, certain person has passed away, and the family has to correct it. You know, he's very ill, he hasn't passed away. So this can be something that's very disturbing. So in a situation like that, a person has to be 100% sure before these sort of arrangements are made. Yeah, but where a person was very sick for some time and now it is known that he has passed away, a situation like that, don't delay unnecessarily. When it comes to delaying, there are two things. One is, ulama explained that even if a person happens to pass away on a Friday morning, it is a Jummah morning, this person passed away, if his janaza, everything is ready in the morning, don't even wait for the Jummah Salat so that you can get a bigger crowd at his janaza. Don't even delay that much also. In other words, if it's ready in the morning, have the janaza salah in the morning, and bury the person also at that time. And there's another aspect, there's another element, that we shouldn't be a cause of anybody's janaza being delayed. But perhaps if there's a brother of the family, cousin of the family, somebody that is requesting that they want to be there, and at the same time we shouldn't be hard on that person, because this is a time when people are very emotional. Although the best thing to do is not to delay the janaza, but if we come to know that somebody is waiting and they're waiting for some family member, at that time don't tell them anything, because people are very emotional. And there is a little bit of wus'at in Shariat, there is a little bit of tolerance in Shariat for things like this. The person shouldn't go out of his way and make it a big scene, especially when people are emotional. Sometimes very hard for them to understand. Yes, at some other time try and explain to people that we should never ever be the cause of somebody's janaza being delayed. From our side that should be, we shouldn't delay. But if somebody else we come to know that is coming, that time is not the correct time to tell the person because of his emotional state. Rather, we should sympathize and be courteous and kind towards the person. Anyway, the first hadith on Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun bidainihi hatta yuqadha anhu. This is speaking about paying a person's debt immediately and trying to sort out his debts, because Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person's soul is left suspended until his debts are fulfilled. What is meant by this? The person has passed away. He had made no arrangement for the debts of his to be settled. So now his decision, Allama Iraqi rahmatullah explained, that the decision of this person now, whether he's successful or unsuccessful, whether he'll be in Jannat, in being Jahannam, what his situation is left, this person is left suspended until those debts are settled. Deaths are something that are very, very serious. In fact, this is something that not encouraged at all in Shariat, unnecessarily. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that imagine a shaheed, that the gunas of a shaheed are all forgiven except illa al-dain, except the debts that he has left. In the initial days of Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to perform the janaza salah, he would first ask, has this person left any debts? If they said yes, he said, has he left any arrangements for these debts to be fulfilled? If the answer was yes, then Rasulullah sallallahu would perform the janaza salah. And if he would ask, has this person left any debts? The answer was yes. And then he would ask, has he made any arrangements for these debts to be fulfilled? If the answer was no, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be reluctant to perform the salah. Then what would happen is generally one sahabi would say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I take on the responsibility of fulfilling my brother's death so that he doesn't be deprived of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing the janaza salah. He didn't want that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam don't perform the janaza salah. This is how initially, how strict it was, because that time it was difficult. Later on when the futuhat and the conquest took place and now funds were coming more in to the Baytul Mal, etc., then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make arrangements on the Baytul Mal to settle the person's debts. But initially he would be reluctant to even perform the janaza salah for a person who has left debts and made no arrangements for those debts to be fulfilled. This is something that ulama explained to us, that a person should not unnecessarily get himself into debts. And if he perhaps gets himself into debts, he should try and quickly fulfill the debts. Here we can see how serious this is, that the person after passing away, his soul is suspended until those debts are fulfilled on his behalf. So therefore, debts are something that we shouldn't unnecessarily get ourselves into. There's more time, we'll explain a little bit more. Let's finish this hadith. عن حسين بن وحوح أن طلحة بن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه مريض فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعوده عن حسين بن وحوح رضي الله عنه. He says that طلحة بن براء بن عازب رضي الله عنه was ill. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came to visit him. فقال إني لا أرى طلحة إلا قد حدث فيه الموت. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that I feel that طلحة's time is very, very near. فَآذِنُونِي بِهِ وَعَجِّلُوا بِهِ. So when he passes away, Rasulullah told the Sahaba that inform me and be quick about it. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِجِيفَةِ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ تُحْبَسَ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَنَيْهِ أَهْلِ. رواه أبو داود. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inform me about it and be quick, because it is not good, it is not appropriate that a person's body be left with his family after he has passed away. And here there are many reasons, ulama explained, that one is that body itself after a while starts giving out a foul smell. And these people that were so used to, so acquainted to, so happy to be with this person, they'll also start feeling uncomfortable when the body starts smelling. And especially in the hot countries where we don't have extreme heat, sometimes the temperatures go to about 50 degrees, very, very hot, delayed unnecessarily. And the same people that had a liking and had muhabbat for that person, and that adab and the respect now will be lost for the person when people are not too happy to go close to him. So therefore, don't delay. Another reason ulama gave is that when a person passes away, this is a very sad moment, very, it's a moment of a lot of grief. You will leave the body there amongst the family, the ladies, the people of the house, etc. And automatically it will extend the grief. Once a person is taken and is buried, to some extent, some solace comes in the heart. So don't delay. Therefore, Rasulullah is saying, don't delay as far as this burial is concerned. This is not appropriate. So two things we learn from here. One is don't delay as far as the death of a person is concerned. And the other is don't delay as far as the burial of the person is concerned. When it comes to deaths also, ulama explained that the person should be very, very careful that if he has got any deaths upon him, then he shouldn't be spending on avenues that are unnecessary. In Arwah Salasa, there is one incident. To such an extent, ulama explained that this incident comes here to explain that even a person that has unnecessary doubts, meaning that he was owing people money, but now he starts inviting people home, or he has prize, or he has other activities where he starts spending on people now, the right thing for him to do at that moment is to actually take that money and pay the people that he's owing, rather than having all these dawahs and calling people and feeding people. So ulama explained that this is makruh to even attend a dawah, an invitation like this, when we know that person is indebted to others, and now he's having big functions, big walimas, big weddings. Now he's inviting us, we know this person is indebted. He's actually makruh, disliked to attend that function. Why? Because the better thing for that person to have done is take that money and pay the people that he's owing. So in Arwah Salasa, there is one incident of Qutbuddin Khandelvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was a Nawab. A Nawab is like a chief. But he had changed his life and became a much very pious person. But he was still owing people money. So on one occasion he had invited Maulana Zafar Hussain Saab for a meal, for a dawah. He invited many people and he called him also. And this was in the time of Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullah. So when he called his Maulana Zafar Hussain Saab Rahmatullah, he refused to accept his dawah. He refused to accept his invitation. So this Maulana Zafar Hussain Saab, this Nawab Saab got a little bit upset that here I called this person, he's a great alim, I called him but he didn't accept. So what he did, he went to complain to another very, very great alim of that zamana, Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullah. He went to complain, he said that here I called this person and he refused to come to my dawah. Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullah, he had called Maulana Zafar Hussain Ahmad Saab and asked him that what had happened, that are you doubting this person's income? Here the man has invited you, but you didn't go for his dawah. Have you got a problem as far as the income of this person is concerned? The ulama at that time, they could speak like this. Because they had the taluk, number one. And number two is, very easily they could sort out the problem. They didn't take it to the press. They didn't take it to the WhatsApp, where a person is belittling somebody else. But if there was a problem amongst themselves, they would talk and they'd sort it out. So he said, no, I don't have any problem as far as his income is concerned. We regard him as a very great person. In fact, the people of the world also regard him as a very great person. But people know commonly, there's a common knowledge that he's owing a lot of people money. And if he's going to have seen as a pious person, owing people money, if he's going to have a function like this and all the ulama attend the function like this, people will think it's okay for a man who's owing money to have these type of functions. So I didn't want to attend a function like this to make it seem as though it's okay. In fact, it's disliked for me to attend the function like this. When Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullahi heard this, he said, what you're saying is right, and from now on, I also want to attend the function like this. So this was the cleanliness of the heart. So therefore it shows that when a man is owing money, he should go out of his way. There shouldn't be any such thing as going for Umrah, going for any type of nafil, holiday, going for any type of holiday, having any type of functions like this. His whole intention should be, how can I spend the extra money I got on the people that I'm owing this money to? This is something which is very, very important. From this hadith we can see how serious it is. Even after a man passes away and is owing money, how careful we should be. But in our lifetime we should try and settle every debt that we have and don't even delay in settling the debts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.